Welcome to Judgmental Podcast, episode 33. Today we're doing a Judgment Eternal Champions Hero Overview. And I'm here with my regular guest host, Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, everybody going out there.
Excellent. So today we've got a bit of a treat. We're going to go through each of the heroes in turn. A whole bunch of them. We'll see how much we can get through in an hour. And then we will we'll do another podcast. So next episode we'll finish off the ones we don't get to. So feel free, we are streaming this live, so feel free to ask any questions as you go. I'll be monitoring the chat. We're happy. We've got an order of heroes we're going to go through, but we'll just go through one at a time. We're going to talk about how to play them, our thoughts on their tactics for using them. Also talk about what good synergies they've got, magical artifacts that we think work well, anything else that comes to mind. So yeah, it's pretty casual, so feel free to ask questions for those listening to this audio later. As a podcast, we'll make sure that we repeat the questions before we answer them so you know what is going on. First of all, Jeff, how you been? You been well?
Yeah, been okay. Been pretty busy, of course, the last few weeks, but going okay. It's getting cool here in Australia, so it's changing for us. But we can't complain to the Europeans and the English, though. Or anybody, actually.
Yeah, we're pretty much
not. Getting wild winters.
Yeah. And we are playing a game. We're going to stream a game on Thursday afternoon, North America time. So it'll be the same time as this, but it'll be on Thursday for North America and Friday morning for Australia. Looking forward to that. We're going to do another 5v5. Haven't got any new heroes. I'm hoping that a couple of models might turn up before now and then. If they do, we'll be able to do something different. Otherwise, it'll be just a standard fare. All right, let's go through. Jeff, so number one hero off the rank is Isabel. Let's go.
Isabel. Oh,
let us know.
She's one of my favorites and always has been, to be honest. Isabel, the hybrid. She's the avatar of Ista. So... She's only champion for one god. She's just typical hybrid. I nearly always pick her when I take Ista. She's the backbone for me because as a typical hybrid, she can be tooled up to go defensive or go aggressive. She's one of the rare ones that's got two level trees as well. Okay, but at basic level one, even her stats are quite strong. Movement 3, agi 4, res 1 and mel 6. Holy Sword, damage is 2, 3, 4, nothing special there. But just her abilities immediately, she can lay on hands, I find very good for healing to support her fellow heroes. And she can also remove conditions with Mess Restoration. And on the other side, she's got the aggressive things where she gets plus 1 damage versus, heroes that can cause curse. And can also get an extra damage when she rolls a J with her smite, with her weapon, extra true damage if she rolls a 1J symbol. So already at level 1, she's got that perfect hybrid role where she's got two abilities that are defensive type abilities, support abilities, and then two other abilities that were aggressive. I generally pick her, if I take her, I'd take it at Warband, even if it's 3s or 5s, with only one defender, because I feel she can fill that defensive role if she needs it. And being part of Ista, when you call that the effigy power, getting nimble and fly for the rest of the game for her is just phenomenal, right? She can get where she wants to be. She's threatening to opponents, and she just be hard to get rid of, basically.
She's actually she's such a good paladin. like she's typical paladin, what you'd expect. 16 health is really good at level 1 as well. Don't forget with AG4 and Res 1. But someone has asked to put the cards up, so I might just be wary that these are the old cards. They're not the new cards. So, sorry, Jeff, keep going.
Yeah, the rules won't change, but this is the old artwork, the old setup and everything like that. Be aware of that, okay, because they're getting printed as we speak, I suppose. Now, the interesting thing is when she gains a level, I know many people are aware, most heroes just get level 2 and level 3, right? But she's got, like Skull, she can choose between which level branch she wants to go up, level 3. And one of them is the Holy, where it's a more of a defensive ability. And her level two first ability for Holy is Divine Intervention, where any hero that dies within 2 hexes of her comes back to 1 health, right? So they basically get an extra lease of life. It takes an extra attack to take them down. Quite a strong ability when you get the heroes bunched around her. And level 3 is basically whenever a hero starts within two hexes of her. They can remove a condition and heal two health. That's a massive level, level three. You automatically heal two health just for starting next to Isabel.
Yeah, so if you're lacking a bit of healing or you're struggling against conditions or those kind of things, it's the good thing about her and Skull's the other one with the two talent trees is you can really adjust how the role they play in the middle of the game, yeah. Which is super important. Jeff, being an avatar, so do you think that's... you normally take your avatars, I think, in your warbands, don't you, for Easter?
I don't take them in all of them. I do take it on Easter because I like it. Not just because she's the avatar, because she's so strong, I think, in that warband. They do lack a little bit of... I just think she fills in that role really well. They've got some strong defensive players in Easter already, Marcus Dunraka and Thrommel, but she just adds to all that content. Anyone of those defenders with her, to me, works really well. I actually don't mind giving her the magical artifact, okay?
Is this the Easter one?
Yeah, which is it's a restoration potion.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right? Because she can basically, she's a tank, she sits in the middle, she can heal up anybody else around her. She's generally in the middle of the figure, but anyway. And if you find that they've got a lot of undead models or summon models in the opponent, you actually go the branch where it's retribution. And she just goes up to the aggressive, you know, she has Mel 7, gets all these extra benefits versus those type of models. With her warbands, you try to ban opponent heroes that can cause fire, because it really goes against her thing of healing, her divine intervention, all those kind of things are bad for her. She's quite strong.
Anyone who's played D&D will be quite familiar with the two talent trees as well, the retribution ones. Yeah, like Holy Blast, she gets extra damage. She's one of the few ones as well where we started introducing, you can power up the ability by spending a fate. There's two options with Holy Blast, like one action or one action and a fate and become super strong, which is really cool.
Yeah, and they're pretty, these abilities are strong, right? Where it's one action, right? Just to do automatic damage. It's quite powerful. Mm. And then it can spend a fate and up the damage even more. Auto damage in the game is fairly rare. No rolling dice, and the heroes that get it, it's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, but the decision is whether her leveling trees are. The deciding factor to me is the opponent's heroes and also what your warband's constructed of. If you're lacking a bit of defensive stuff, I nearly always go holy, but if you've got enough defensive and a tech there, and you want to go aggressive, and they've got undead and things like that, you go.
Yeah, they've got undead, like 100%. She just becomes a monster against that. Or summon guys, you know, like Victor with his demons.
Victor, and all those. But even generally at her level one, she does plus one damage versus people that cause curse. And she does smite every time she rolls a J, extra damage. See, sometimes against those heroes, you can do six damage right on a crit, right? Because... one for the J and one for the curse bane, like against Cruel, Fazil, people that cause curse. And six crit, it's full guard levels, right? Which is crazy.
And what about magical artifacts? You mentioned Restoration Potion. She gets Mel 7.
Magical Potion. Yeah. Always hard to say what you're going to take. It depends. She's got to get Fly and Nimble when you call the effigy power. So it might be painful. You can, even going like the regen for her or Agi. Defensive just makes her tanky.
Actually, five res one is quite nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Or she's never, and everybody likes the Vorpal Blade as well, and even Shredder as well. So, yeah, right. She's quite good. Because she can go either way, she's quite good for any of those items.
We have to move on, or we're going to get through two heroes in an hour. So, that was good. There's Isabel. So, we'll move on to the next one. That was good. So, if you've got any questions, just pop them in the chat and we'll answer them. But the next one we're going to talk about is actually Kogan. So I'll bring up his card quickly, and we'll go from there. All right, so Kogan is a Minotaur. So Minotaurs are naturally pretty good. They're pretty resilient. He's got 17 health, and he's got regen 2 out of the box. Agi 3 is the normally the downside of Minotaurs, and he's definitely got that. And they obviously don't like fire. But he's got Mel 7 and RNG 6, so he is pretty good. Good toolkit. He's got two really good attacks at level 1 in his Chainsaw and Blunderbuss. And he's also a champion of Bruel and Krognar, which are both pretty strong as well. So Kogan is super fun. He's got some awesome abilities. His model's amazing. Been a lot of fun creating him and using him. So yeah, so let's just have a look at his first level stats. Coogan. So effectively, as I said, regen, he's got armor piercing on his blunderbuss, which is when his rage attack, which is amazing. So if you're facing a heavy res army, their warband, he's fantastic. If they've got multiple tanks that are res 2, you can actually get in the armor piercing, armor shredder item, and it'll just absolutely shred them, which is amazing. Depends how you want to use him. So because he's got such short range of 3 hexes on his blunderbuss, you obviously need to do a bit of setup to get him to be able to aim. You need him to aim effectively. When he's aiming, he's a menace, but it's not always easy. So there's a lot of heroes that can help him with that. Like Shan can move him out of any out of activation movement is unreal for Coogan, right? So Styx, Shan, Cavado, either moving your models or your opponent or moving Coogan himself. If he can aim, and if you've got that support around him, you can also buy him the Heartseeker. So he starts at RNG 7, he aims at RNG 8, and whatever he does at RNG 8, he's going to shred people. So, yep. General thoughts on Coogan, Jeff, at this point?
Yeah, whenever I can, I try to call battle cry with this guy.
Yeah.
It's just a massive mechanic for re-rolling dice. You want at least to have 3 dice in the roll, whether it's in his range attacks. You want to be aiming but even his mel, it's crazy because it can be used on sustained attack as well.
Yeah, so three dice. Yeah, if you have 3 dice, battle cry is 100% worth it. If you have 2, it's probably not unless you're desperate, but 3 or more, even at 3, it's ridiculously good.
I just think when you take him for that, and I try to pair him up with people that can, you know, dodge fire or help him immune to fire, and he's actually quite good with Isabel, and he's good with Saiyan heroes like that. I think he's a bit unrepresented lately with the players, but he at one stage he was considered
he's just not a hero. He's not like Vogar or Drogoff or someone where you can just go, well, point him in the direction and they go nuts, like. If you want to get the most, because he's going to use him just as melee, he's not as good as them. It's as simple as that. With sustained attack or battle cry, I think, because his damage is capped, unlike a lot of those guys. But
the movement shenanigans, like you said, with people with sticks and Bastion that can move him around. Yeah. He just steps up, right? But it's like you said, it's a hard decision. Do you go in and charge, or do you walk and shoot? Because they're both legit attacks.
And right? Power Shot's one of those combat moves where you might sacrifice damage, or you will if you can pull it off to get the knockdown. Because if he knocks down on his first attack and he's got 3, they're pretty much, the good chance they're going to die or be not much left of them at the end.
Exactly.
And level up for him, it's just standard. He's got level 2 and 3. I'll just get those out now. Coogan... where is he? He is here. Here he is.
He's got his stand and shoot for his level 2.
We changed that, Jeff. His blunderbuss reach goes to 4 and he gets +1 RNG, is humongous, right? So if you've bought the guy, he's actually now a good candidate. You know how when you go through games, you pick a hero you want to target to level up? He's now a good chance of that happening. So because if you bought him the Heartseeker, he's 7. And if he at level 2, he becomes RNG 8. He'll aim at 9. So even against elves, he's going to get 4 dice. With Battlecry, he'll pretty much kill any elf in the game if he's doing that.
And that reach is
huge. Yeah. I mean, it's on par with, except for the big aggressors like Astariel, it's on par with all the others, right? Like Zarin. But and then finally, Buckshot. If they're clumped up, Buckshot is huge. It's very situational. But I have seen people just go to town and do 2 or 3 kills with that in one activation. So, Jeff, do you think he's a good level up opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just that, you know, +1 reach. Even just the reach is enough, but getting the RNG as well. I think he's just been, I think his people are just under the radar. I'm not seeing you, but he can be massively powerful for sure. Buckshot, it's more of a circumstance one, but to me, level 2 is where you want to get him. And like all Minotaurs, they're a bit soft because of Agi 3, but once you get leveling up, their health just starts getting up to the really high levels, and they got more staying power as well. Yeah. So, for
all right, next one. Yeah. Cool, that was Coogan. Next one is Not arguably, he has statistically the most popular hero in the game. He is often touted as the best defender, if not the best hero in the game. He's got a lot of hype around him. His name is Sir Marcus. So, Jeff, tell us about this guy.
Consistently topping the pop charts, this guy. The biggest thing, obviously, won't be obvious to people, is his knockdown, right? It's basically, it's not easy to get off because he needs to damage as well as, get this one symbol to knock down. But it's such a setup for the rest of the warband. Whether you've got ranged guys or aggressive guys coming in, being able to charge, knock down, and then hit him again with the sword or just do something else is a great ability. To me, that's his big thing.
He's got the best knockdown in the game, effectively, right? Like, it's something that you're, just what you pick him for. To be honest.
And his Jeff Tech, the Agi 4 Res 2 seems to be the most popular defenders as well. It's the hardest thing to deal with, right? You get this guy something like Regen.
Or Agi 5.
Okay. Yeah. He's not like the Don or Thrummel where they can't be pushed around and that, but at Agi or Agi 5 in a Res 2 or whatever, it's massively strong. The other big thing for him is protective stance. It doesn't seem like much, one action, Res 1, but that stacking with the other, if you get other heroes in your warband with Res 1, the Haxar, Isabel, who we just spoke about, and he is in the same guide as Isabel, by the way, now giving them, making them Res 2 is a massive difference to the stats, right? It's just a great defender in that way. The knockdown's really good. And he can place a wall, that's his main ability, his active ability, but it doesn't.
That's really fallen off the radar. I think early on, that was a big ability, wasn't it? The ability to put a wall. But it's kind of just, you don't see it anywhere near as much. I guess there's a lot of fate-hungry heroes, and he's definitely not that. The beauty of him is basically hardly ever need fate for him, which is great.
And he doesn't need a level. Like, his level 2 is good, right? It's a winter spider. It slows enemies down, even level 3. A lot of people don't really worry about leveling him up. It's just his level 1 abilities. He's one of those heroes you put in, doesn't need fate really, and just knocks down
and he rests with his friends. As well, can't he?
Yep. Put him in any warband because that plus 1 res from protective stance is really cool. And knockdown works great with ranged attackers, right? Just all round good. Nothing brilliant, but just strong and
so reliable. So a couple of things basically. In the chat. Constant Ways called it Kogan top aggressor in 2021. Probably 2022. Cancerous Anonymous has said Masuzi top aggressor 2022. That's a big call. Like that one. Big acid potion, true damage. Marcus is the best soul gaze of all time. That's actually quite true. Don't forget that. So he can pick up a soul. He's got Soul Harvester 4. So even with a friend, he's 7. He's almost 50-50 at this point. So pretty good. And protective stance on Ankura is there. Any of the ones, on Ankura, it's obscene. But any of the ones that are with the bell out as well. If you've got on Kuro Res 2 with the bell out, nothing's much happening there. All right, cool. Any Jeff items for Marcus? You mentioned agility, but it's probably around it, about it.
I usually like doing the regen for him.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make him a bit of, well, agility's good too, but regen makes him obnoxious. You can stay in the middle and just be a pain.
Yeah, with the res, because it's so hard to damage them, and then you're getting 2 back every time. It's kind of like negating a crit every turn, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of popular heroes and Hyperbole, we've got Alan Deer, the Elf Ranger. So Alan Deer is a marksman. He's got a bow and a knife. His main thing is all about his bow. He's got typical elf stats, nothing unusual, except that he's super annoying. So I'll go to his card straight away because his front card is actually quite plain. Doesn't give up how huge this guy is. All right, he's got Pathfinder, Mark Target, and Dash. And Mark Target is the big thing. He gets plus 1 dice against one model that you determine, you declare at the start of the game. It's quite a powerful ability, Mark Target, because, with his range, his range of 5 means he can pretty much get to places, and he's got move 3 with Dash. So he's very maneuverable. He's got Pathfinder. He can get to where he needs to get. And I mean, there is more hype about this guy than there should be, but there is. He's banned a lot. And Twin Shot is a pretty cool ability. If they're bunched up, you can do damage to a model behind his original target, which is quite cool. And the big one's explosive shot. He automatically applies the burn condition to his target and anyone who's adjacent. So really clumping up against this guy is not good. If you do that, you're pretty much playing into his hands. So he does force Warbands to spread out. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Alan Deere?
Yeah, he's always leads the band target, I think, because if he does get a bead on someone and gets to aim and shoot, he could be quite devastating. Mm. Basically, auto-fire, right? I mean, he's going to damage someone, right? And if he wants that, it's one fate, auto-fire, which is burn, sorry, the new, still using the old terms. But yeah, auto-burn to me is the big one, and that's a setup for other people like a star.
Oh, explosive shot, you're talking about? Minotaurs. Explosive shot, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, because he spent a fate, right? As long as he's damaged them, which, you know, he's probably going to do. I always like taking him as well. He's great, right? Pretty straightforward, though. He's out of the box, the traditional, you know, old fantasy type of ranger guy. But, yeah, and if you got to take into consideration when you're playing against him what he can do and don't bunch
up. He's a candidate for Hunter as well. Like, I think that's probably almost a given. If I take him or Ostario, I mean, he can aim at 8. But then if you're playing elves again, you know, like, he's quite good. Or if you're playing a lot of armor, just get him Armor Shredder. That's the other option.
So he's like a counter to the Thrummels and the John Rarkers that, well, now they've got the two-inch, two-hex, defensive bubble, not so much. So he's lost a bit there. We'll probably see more of him coming into play because of that reason, I think.
Yeah. And then at level 2 and 3, he's got Assault, which is just improves his melee, which is only kind of useful. It's a bit thematic more than anything. It is useful for him to get out of combat if you're crowding him. That's what you'd do if you're playing against Alan Deere. You definitely want to get in his face and tag him with a melee aggressor if you can. But he can push himself away now with Assault at level 2. And level 3 is actually quite good. This is worth leveling for, because if you're fighting against heavy armored people, he does true damage, which is pretty massive. So I think that's pretty good.
One of the best level 3 abilities out there. It's devastating. You know, Don Riker can't be on the board at this time.
Well, he can't use Stoneforge, that's for sure.
Can't use Stoneforge. And Thrummel and Marcus, if he's got his plus one RNG item, Heartseeker, it's just going to be shredding them. It's going to be bad. So,
all right. For that one, you're looking at Armor Shredder or Heartseeker, depending on what you're playing against, whether it's Elves or Heavy Armor. You're playing both. Just choose one of them and go anti-tech. Right, okay, so the next hero on the list is Piper. Ah, oh, Jeffrey's favourite.
He's probably my
All right, Jeff, let's go with your Piper.
Yeah, so he is probably my favourite guy, right? So I just, 1 second, change my background to that. There we go. Okay. Very good all-rounder, can do everything. He can be defensive, can hold a shrine by himself. This guy is one of the fastest ones to get around the board, right? It's because he's got that mystic step, okay? And then he can move 3 plus dash, so he can move 4. But also, he can do enhanced self, which is his level 1 ability, which basically, you know, he's got a move of 5, right? So he can get anywhere on the board. He's got Pathfinder, all the tricks to get there, okay? I always like him as my second defender, so to speak, when I put it in inverted commas, defender, because if there's a far shrine out wide, you know, the shrine to Eldir or whatever's out wide, he can get it and basically dance around and keep it for the whole game for himself, okay? He also then can easily double up as an aggressor because his backstab ability, it just takes his damage up to 3, 4, 5, which is aggressor level, even better than aggressor level because it glancing for 3.
Yeah, so Piper's a high skill cap hero for sure, right? Like, people try him and they find him very underwhelming because if he's ever hitting without backstab, you're not using him correctly. His mystic step is, you know, correctly, and when you duplicate duplicate self and enhance self is really important. And Mage Hand, right? Pushing from range. It's no one can do it normally, but it's so strong.
Yeah, okay, he's got a reach of 4 with his Mage Hand. Only Mage 6, but you're doing it. You're not doing it for damage.
You just want to push.
You're doing it for the symbols to push, right? Pushing monsters from far away or, in fact, you know, risking going in or pushing the heroes back into things like that. He's just great at that. I mean, the level 2 is not that brilliant. It just gives him duplicate itself on a
It's
2S,
pretty good though. It's pretty
okay?
efficient, right? Like, it's normally an action. You can get it for free, and it means you can just concentrate on trying to hit people, and the defensive tech comes automatically. I quite like that.
That's right, that's right. And level 3 taunt doesn't get used as much again. This is another way similar to Marcus. You don't have to get level him up to get the best out, which is good because in Warbands, we just spoke about love getting L&D to level 3, right? And Kogan to level 2. In Warbands, you've got to have heroes that don't need the leveling, that don't need fate. He does
Yeah,
like fate because
he's a
that
fate
enhanced
guy.
soul. Sitting at Agi 6, duplicate self, he's not going anywhere, right? He doesn't like stuff to do auto damage. Like Haxxar's, D6 auto damage, anything like that, really bad for any elf, especially for Piper. Okay, I really like him in Gruul, because in Krognar, well, Gruul as well, but in Krognar, because effigy recall on one, and this guy's ability to get back into the fray straight away, doesn't really hurt him, right? So, and items to buy him, I actually don't like
Yeah, I don't
buy
think
him
so.
a lot of items. But because enhanced self gives you anything you need at the time, but I have seen people buying the Vorpal Blade. You don't, yeah. There's not a lot that he wants because he can do a lot with what with his basic toolkit. I always whenever I take him, never regret it. He always does something,
All right. Awesome.
right?
Yeah, I'm the same with Piper. He's very good. He's awesome toolkit. But you need to stick with him if you're learning him because he can be frustrating early on. You'll find him underwhelming. Great with Bastion as well. Anyone that can give him an extra mil if he's getting that. Or the two range guys like Gendrys, he's really good as well because they can tag an enemy and he can get his backstab. Right, I can't wait for this one. Thorgar.
You mean before that? You mean anybody with
Reach
Reach
two.
2? That's where he's really good.
Thorgar. Okay, so awesome aggressor. Just pretty much out of the box is amazing. This guy is one of the most fate efficient, or he actually is the most fate efficient hero in the game because he actually has no fate abilities. He's amazing. Just 3, 4, 6. He basically plus one damage automatically. It is built into his kit. He's got regen like any Minotaur. Great health. Starts at 17 with a maximum of 21, and just Mel 7. So it's pretty much awesome. And he's also for Bruul and Gruul are the two gods that he's for. Thorgar, yeah, I don't know. I find him in pretty much most of my warbands or a lot of them. He can get damaged pretty value 3. He is susceptible to getting down taken down. You can't go too deep with him. You need to worry about defending him, but he's amazing.
Yeah, you got that temptation to do Enraged Assault every time,
Yes,
but don't forget that's a it's equivalent to being knocked down because you're Agi
so Hurl
one,
is his combat
right?
maneuver. That's his signature play where he throws people and knocks them down, which is super strong. You can get him in the right positions with the hexes. You can get him to throw at really good angles and set models up for destruction late in the turn. So if they do a model at first, he's a good counter straight away because he can throw that model. The model's already activated that round. That means all the rest of your warbands can crack down on getting that model while they're knocked down. Range Assault, now this is fantastic. Plus 2 mil and minus 2 Agi. So he has Agi 1, but mil 9 on this guy is insane. You just have, now this is where you want to do it a little bit later in the round, so they haven't got too many heroes to bring him down at Agi 1, and you can activate him early the next round to get that back out again. With the right support, Range Assault can be amazing if you can give him some defensive tech to keep him alive. Or have things that can heal him in between your enemy's activations. Jeff, magical artifacts. I do sometimes buy him the Mel, the Vorpal Blade, but often I don't. Like, he's got regen built in. Agi on Minotaurs, I'm not that big a fan because from 3 to 4 is nowhere near as effective as from 4 to 5, the way our dice mechanic works. So I kind of feel, you know what, you're just going to just take the hits and you have a build around your Minotaurs to keep them alive. Yep, they come super, super strong.
Yeah, I like teeing him up with Sane and making him into fire. Marcus One protective stance works on him. You don't have to. I mean, yeah, buying the Vorpal Blade's a bit of a waste. He's got Enraged Slam,
He's so
Enraged
efficient
Soul, right?
now,
So,
right? He doesn't need to buy items. He doesn't need to spend fate because he's got no fate abilities. I think that he, like any Minotaurs, right? Just like you just kind of have, like you said, you mentioned a couple of things because they've got a lot of health. One res is a big thing for them because you need a lot of hits to bring them down, and every hit takes one off with res.
Yes.
So the res defense is quite. It also res always gets better the more health you've got because it's more hits to bring them down.
Yeah.
Man catch is huge, Jeff.
Yeah.
Any movement is huge, and being able to move an enemy model towards you is massive.
So this is the ability I'm concerned, because most aggressors are going to get two attacks, right? They're going to charge and hit again. But this aggressor, if you're 3 hexes away, he's getting 3 attacks because he's pulling you in and hitting you, right? The other trick is you charge, you hurl somebody, and pull them back and hit them again
while they're knocked down.
While they're knocked down, right?
And they're at your feet. He's a definite good level 2 target because it also gives him 2 extra health, which, as I mentioned earlier, it's quite good. He'll go to 19. And Unstoppable Rage is amazing as well. So this is the one we can combine this with Range Assault, in that when he gets 0 health, while the Range Assault's in play, he does not die. But he'll die at the end of your next hero's activation. So basically you get one hit, one activation's grace, right? So if he's got a Range Assault on and he has Unstoppable Rage, you can do this for free, by the way. So it's free. But then his innate ability, it's always up. So as soon as you activate the Range Assault, it's already there. Now, if your opponent then puts him to 0 health, he won't die. You get 1 activation to save him. So he's a good candidate for building your warband around, particularly in immunity. Yeah. Immunity, when you know you're going to be able to make him immune, you can pick him, knowing you've got him, and build completely around him.
Yeah, it's a plan. If you're going in knowing that you're going to die and work out, you know, how many attacks they can get on him, then you go, okay, I'm going to go on next turn and heal him up. Right?
Yep.
That's how you're using this Unstoppable
Rage. And also the Restoration Potion, Jeff, is amazing, right? Like...
That destroys opponents when that happens. If you're going to go up and respect
back to 21.
Saying that, one item I do like him, I don't mind giving him the leech item.
It's a lot of healing,
right? Because then he's healing himself up. So yeah, it makes him tanky as well as aggressive. So yeah.
Old Tulex, sure. He's really one of the most survivable heroes when you hit level 3. Such a pain in the butt with the right support. Yes, he is. I'm super proud. I mean, of a lot of all the heroes we've designed, but Thorgar is just. His kit is so just perfect for the way the character is.
And he's one of Judgment's pin-up boys, one of the icons. If Rakir and Astariel, I think those three probably define Judgment early in the early days.
Yeah, one of the first ones we did.
Astariel, Thorgar and Rakir, you know, those crazy Minotaur guys. So, yeah.
All right, Zyvira.
It's a two out Minotaurs. This is an old lady Minotaur. She's just typical soul gazer. She's not made, you know, you don't want her in the front line. She doesn't fight. Don't want her up there like Svetlana or a Krul. But she's one of the first heroes that we designed that doesn't really have to roll to do damage.
It's powerful.
Right? And it's very powerful. All her ability, and a lot of her abilities are about damaging herself or damaging friends. Right? Again, a bit like Piper, I think a high skill cap hero, because she
very
can
high.
She's 83. Yeah. Right, HG3 is just and 16 health and no res, nothing. She can't fight. She's not threatening. But it's her abilities that put her with one of the most, you know, strong soul gazers.
In one of the beta tournaments, I used her a bit, the one I won the tournament, and she was just devastating in so many games. I think in the final, I used her when she raised dead a hero.
Yeah.
She's so strong, man. If you get used to her.
I mean, Corrupt Blood... You know, target-friendly hero model can suffer up to 5 true damage, and an enemy model suffers the same damage, right? That's just amazing auto-kills, right? Like, against Thrommel, it's in 2 turns you've done 10 damage to him, right? Now, what you do with her, you need somebody that can fix you. You need healers.
She can regen 2 back. So if you do her late, right, yeah, she can go 5 damage to you, 5 to me, I regen 2 straight away. Yeah. It's like...
Synergies with Skull are phenomenal because of Bulwark. You put Bulwark on, basically you're getting it for free. You're cutting yourself with a 5 Bulwark, and then somebody else gets damaged. Healing from Isabel or from Saiyan or from anybody like that. You put items, heroes that can read you, Haxar, right? Because Haxar can do the damage and heal you back again, right? That's what you got to do with her to keep pumping up the health and keep hurting the opponent. And a bit like Thorgar, you sort of like really have to work around. She's one of those you do have to work around. We said, you know, Piper can work on his own. Marcus can work on his own. She, you have to protect her and have a warband that's going to take advantage of these abilities. So when you do cut yourself for the damage. You're not, destroying your own art warband,
Yeah, and don't forget
basically.
she's a soul gazer as well, and she's
And of course, she's a
one of the
soul
few
gazer.
that can soul harvest twice, right? So she can soul harvest herself and then use Unholy Harvest. So you can, if you're on 3 souls in a 5v5 game, she can win the game with you in that activation if things are in the right way. Or similarly, you can do it from 2 souls in a 3v3 game. So she's got a massive kit. I think if you're playing her well, you should use almost every ability every game to get the most out of her. She can heal, right? She can take 5 damage herself, heal a friend for 5 health, and then she can regen 2 of that back straight away. So it's kind of like, start of the next round. So she's so efficient. I love Diveera. Yeah, she's one of my favorite heroes.
And she will level up because she's a soul
Yeah, she will.
gazer, and even just her level 2 is diminished. Well, it doesn't seem like much to players, but it really plays havoc with the opponent's ability
Amazing
to get their
defensive tech,
combat maneuver
right?
out. They need an extra symbol to execute a combat maneuver, right? That means, Fazil now needs the J and another
And
symbol,
Rakia needs
right?
three
Or
S's, three symbols,
while
and
damaging.
Nefini three
While
symbols, right?
damaging. It's really, really strong. And then to me, one of the really powerful level 3s is Soul Link. I think people have seen this in action, but being able to link two heroes together to share damage, it's almost like a time bomb. It's hard to lose from that situation, right? Because you've got two heroes that you can just juggle the damage, but you should be healing each other up and things like that. Really
Yeah, but
powerful.
she's so Zavira for me as well. Like, yeah, Soul Link's incredible. Zavira for me is one that doesn't need items, really. I mean, you want to level her up, I think, is where she gets her strength because her defensive tech's in all her level ups. She doesn't roll a lot of dice. She doesn't need to roll a lot of dice. Doesn't use a lot of fate, to be honest with you. She's, good all around. You could build your warband around her. She's, once again, good immunity choice in immunity. We're mentioning heroes that are good in the immunity where you know you can guaranteed to take them. So you can take her, you've got a soul gazer, and you can build around her. So she's quite cool. Yeah, I love Zyvira. Anything else, Jeff? Nothing more?
Final thing, I suppose we haven't talked a lot about the guides, but she's with Torin. The effigy power there is pretty good. It actually goes in sync with her type of Sheikah, what she does by doing extra damage. She can't, I suppose if you wanted to, you could pull that out.
Cool.
And the quality stones, good for her. That's an item.
Oh
That's something to
yeah, quality
take.
stone. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Because she's going to be a target,
Because she can
right?
cut
She's going to be
herself
a
down to
target.
low and then just swap health with someone.
I knew there was a combo there. It just slipped me until I saw it. That's what it was. That's the
Is.
combo. You're cutting yourself down. Oh, I'm sick of this. Let's swap health
Yeah.
now. Oh my gosh. So it's quite strong. So
Awesome.
anyway, definitely good. She's not as popular as the others. I think if she's
She's
so
just high skill
vulnerable to
cap, I
getting
think. Yeah.
killed, but high
Yeah, I
skill
think
cap.
that's what
High
it is.
skill. Definitely,
Yeah.
definitely powerful.
All right,
Cool.
Gendryss or Gendryss, Minotaur, really good. So she is an avatar of Gruul. She's really good. I mean, Soul Harvest 5. She's one of the few that is not a soul gazer, but can still get it, pick up a soul on a 50-50. She's got two types of attacks, both Mel and Madge, Lightning Bolt and the staff. Lightning Bolt being her main thing, but she's got Reach 2 on the staff. She's got an enormous, really strong kit at level 1. She's one of the few Minotaurs that's got res 1, so she's actually 3 res 1, but she's got 16 health as well. That starts to be pretty tanky, even at Agi 3. She's amazing, Gendryss, beautiful model as well. The fact that she's an avatar is just kick-ass. Now, her avatar ability is quite strong. Now, I'll go to her abilities and I'll explain what it means when she's an avatar. So the big thing on her, I'll go straight to it, is Wild Growth, which you can place a forest template within 3 hexes. Now, obviously, with Gruul being the avatar, when you call the effigy power, she can place another one for free that stays in play for the rest of the game. So a lot of forest tech around there from Wild Growth. Finder Path is very underrated, where she gives someone a +1 move and Pathfinder. It can just make your elves race across the board or a Fazil. It's amazing. And Lightning Leap is fantastic combat maneuver for her being able to spread damage. She's got great tech when someone's knocked down. I don't know, Jeff Gendryss. It's just, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually like it with Thrommel because just for the find the path,
Yeah.
right? The dwarfs, with the dwarfs, she's great, right? And Lorabella, all these ones, she just works really good. That's, as you said, that's one that's sort of like underused, I think. It's really powerful. It's just one action a turn. I think she's a high band priority, and she probably gets taken more in immunity because to get her through. Because those forests, it counters for everything, right? Counters for charge, counters for range,
line of sight,
attacks, those kind of things.
Yeah, I agree.
Reach two, everything's going for her. Yeah. And then level three, of course.
Oh, so, yeah, well, whole person level two, she's got, I mean, in a low fate game, where fate people are fate starved, whole person's unbelievable. If your opponent's got no fate, or they've got a Rakir with one fate and they're little saving them to later in the round to think they could do toxin, you put whole person on him. He either has to spend the fate to move, and that means he can't do toxin. It's got a lot of situational, can be really strong hold person. And then elemental command, she can summon a Terra model, which is amazing. But I think, to be honest with you, she's one of those ones where she's not a big level up target. She's quite strong at level one, and you can take other heroes that need levels. But if you do level up, she can be quite good.
I agree. Yeah. Don't forget, hold person can work on monsters as well.
Yep.
Right, just stop them from, if you're, in, right. you're coming towards you in danger, just stop them in the tracks.
Them coming towards okay. you. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. All right, excellent. That was Gendrys. We're getting through a few. Sky, Jeff, you're getting all the ones that you like.
Yeah, so he took one of the recent buffs, we gave him regen, which made an unbelievable difference in this guy's difference. Popularity.
We used to buy the item a lot, didn't we, Jeff? We used to buy, me, you and I often bought it for him, so it made him just fate efficient because he got it for free.
Yeah, because he just lacked a bit. He seemed almost before like an all-rounder, like a hybrid, but wasn't really good, great at anything. But now he's one of the fastest guys that can get around with Pathfinder and Dash, right? Typical elf that can get around everywhere. Every ability is strong now, right? He's got his diversion, so he can tank up like Thrummel and Don Raka and protect his friends. I do like taking him. Regen sort of like works really well because he can take up the damage and then get regen. I like taking him again with people that can heal because he can spread the damage around, spread bits and pieces to either play and get it back again. And Groundwork's just a good little bonus. If he gets knocked down, it's not a big thing. But to me, the big thing for me is Spirit Strike. I always try to get use out of that by activating him to the latter half of the round. Okay. Hopefully someone's damaged him, takes some damage. He comes in, does a J, stuns the model and heals too, right? And because it's a combat maneuver, he can get it a couple of times, right? And all of a sudden, he's this Agi 6 guy who is very hard to damage. He's healed himself back up again.
Right? Yeah, really you can strong. Heal 2 from that or 4 from that and then get 2 regen the next turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's difficult to get in the first place, right? Because,
He doesn't like people ganging up on him because anything with extra dice is really bad because his shick is his Agi 6 and most people are rolling one dice, right? But once the gang ups start coming in, the extra dice start kicking in the play. Heroic Stand, if you can spend the fate, it's hard to use it because you want to do the fate, but it can protect
heroic
your whole warbeam
amazing.
If you're doing
it
properly. It interrupts their opponents. Don't forget, you can place within adjacent to one of your friends. So what you can do is place him, then you're engaging the opponent, right? Which is also giving temporary health to your friend, but also engaging the opponent who's attacking that guy. And
if you've got the fate, it's worth doing every turn, honestly. It's such a deterrent.
Super good. It's got the only hero that's Agi 6, right? I mean, Piper can get there with Enhanced Soul, but he's the only Agi 6. It's quite strong.
And I guess now...
Okay, so he's okay.
Give me on.
You go.
Like, now he's got regen. Do you buy many items now?
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't think I do.
Yeah. Whenever he kills a monster, I'm not sure what to buy. I just think, he doesn't really need it. At that level, he's fine. He's actually good in he's one of the heroes you can take out of the guide and take him with Krognar because of his level 2, right? Which is he can effigy recall and take a friend with him. Because it's only one action with Krognar, it's a really good setup, right? To get someone to safety and then he can run back straight into play again himself.
It's really good. And last one, Jeff, Globe of Invulnerability.
Yeah, to be honest, not one of the strongest used ones, but +1 rest everyone with 3 hexes, that can take towards the end of the game, right?
It's a good late game play, I think.
Yeah, this will work on the effigy, so don't forget that. Right, hit the defender, he can get back, give plus one res to the effigy that you're trying to protect. And the good late game piece, right? Another guy doesn't really need fate. You do like heroic stand, but he's a good defender, doesn't have to have it. And I think his big thing is spirit strike, right? Doing stuns to two heroes is just a drain on
On their
on your
output,
resources,
yeah. All
basically.
right.
Yeah, and that G6 is killer, so yeah.
Awesome. To hobbies, can extra damage that targets a monster from the Hunter's Knife artifact transfer to your opponent's hero with a lightning ability? Yes, it can. It's a really good tech that we didn't mention. So Gendris can take the Hunter's Knife, shoot a monster, do plus two damage, and then that damage is then transferred if she does a lightning leap to a model 2 hexes away. So great tech. Hunter's Knife's a good ability to pick up for anyone. You can pick it up right early, kill the monster, and then just swap it at that time, right? So it's and don't forget it's got its once per use, we get plus one damage as well. So Hunter's
Yeah.
Knife, yeah, unreal.
I think people forget that you can take it, like even on a Starial,
Yep.
or because it says a knife, it's actually probably not a great term for it. Because any basic attack, right? So even Elendil will get the bonus.
Yep. All right, next one. I'm so excited that I got him because we're doing this just randomly back and forth. But it's Zim. Zim Gugak, Undead Lich. Love this guy, mainly because I was writing a storyline for Zarin, and this is Zarin in the future. He becomes a Lich, which is fantastic. Mage 8, only model in the game with Mage 8 out of the box, so which means he's super efficient. Don't need to buy him the Mage item normally. I normally buy him Shredder if they've got res, which makes him super cool. Being undead, with a lot of cool abilities that we'll get to. Soul Harvest 5, which obviously does not to get the soul, but to do their soul ability is quite good as well. Agi 4. Now I'm gonna go straight to his second card. Because I love Zim, he's super good. I normally take Zim and Astarial, and then one of them will get banned, and you'll get the other one. And I buy the Mage item for Astarial to make her Mage 8, or the Shredder for him. So they work the same or work very similar roles. So Zim's card. A couple of things you need to remember: being undead, he's got Leech 1, so he's gonna heal one every time you shoot, which is really nice. And against RNG guys, he is Agi 5 and Res 1, right? So if you're playing against an Elendil or any of those guys or a Kogan, he just becomes a bad target for them effectively, and it's just built into his kit. Frostbite, super cool. You can freeze people, and do extra true damage with a J. Switch is an awesome ability to either get him in place for Ice Storm, or to get him out of trouble if someone and swap him with a big defender. Or someone to put in their face, but doing it aggressively for Ice Storm is unreal. You can get him in a position where you want him to be, and you can do three true damage to everyone around him, or D3 plus one models, which is at least two up to four, which is huge. And they get frozen as well. So a good Zim player will use Switch aggressively at the right time, and it can be a game winner. So Jeff, any thoughts just on basic Zim or items for him that you've played?
Yeah, well, you've already touched on his bonus Frost Shroud against Agi and Rez. It means he can outshoot them, right? He can line up the Aladir so he can shoot me, but you're going to cop it back, right? And same for the other ones, Zaffa and those kind of people, right? Because he's just got the extra bonus. Yeah, his switch to me is a play that it's pretty cool because a lot of the range guys haven't got that many tricks like this, and any movement tricks just level. To me, just raises that hero above, right? Level up, basically. The fact that these twitch shenanigans get you out of trouble, screw with the opponent's plans, they won't see it coming. That's a big thing for me. And starting at Mage 8, don't forget Mage 8's against cover, it's only minus one dice, so it's going to be hitting with seven dice. Counts as Mage 7 most of the time if they got cover.
He's
So,
still good.
yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. Cone of Cold, level 2. If they're clumped up, he can shoot extra heroes of Cone of Cold, which is a free zero action active ability. Which we've done that way, so it's not innate. So it's not every attack; it's only for one attack because it's an active ability. But for one attack, he can hit multiple targets. If you're wondering why we've got a zero action active ability, that's the reason. Because innate would mean all of his attacks, active abilities, can only be done once per turn. And an Unholy Tether is quite cool. Any model and himself they'll suffer the same damage as him. If you put it on an elf or someone who's low health, you basically make him untargetable, because if someone's low at less health than him, the opponent can't hit him because they're going to kill their own hero. And if it happens in their own activation, you get the soul and the level. So He's quite cool. Once again, he's not a huge target for leveling up, but if you do happen to get there, Unholy Tether can be a great late game ability. So that's pretty cool. Loves him. He's normally my warbands in the tournaments we did during the beta. He was in my warbands. Got a lot of purchase out of him, so he was amazing. How are we doing for time, Jeff? We've got another 9 minutes, so we'll get through a few more.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue this in another one. We've got almost halfway, so that's good. And we'll continue this in another episode. Jeff, you got Uncle Fazil coming up.
Oh, yes. This guy is one of the ones, I think, up there with probably Zonya, where when you're facing him, your heart starts pumping, right? He's already looking for those double J's. Double J's, right? For the deep out. But yeah, look, he's an undead. He is the avatar of Thomas. Is a wrecking ball that does need fate, but geez, the damage from this guy is pretty strong because it starts at 2, 3, 5. But when he charges, because of the mounted rule, he gets plus one damage. You know, he gets plus one mil and plus so one
three,
damage.
Four, 3, 4, 6. So it's like Thorgar, right?
You're coming in 3, 4, 6 mil with decap. So if, for people that know, you're hitting someone with zero res. If he gets a double J, one fate, it's double damage. So it's 12 damage straight away, right? Quite scary. I do like Affliction, the fact that he can apply poison or curse. It makes him a bit more flexible depending what other heroes you got in the warband. Everything about this guy is made at killing things. And he's actually, the biggest thing of undead is you don't want him to die, right? But he's quite resilient once you want to level this guy. You really want to level him up, right? Because then he can start getting leeching health. He can, at level 2, he can start leeching it, you know, above his normal starting health. And just goes up. And you want to, if you can, with Thomas, call the effigy power early. Because talking about beast, he becomes a double beast at that stage, right? Because with his effigy power, he gets another plus one mil and another plus one. Is it move as well, Andrew? I've got to do this one.
Pathfinder on the charge and plus Thompson. One mil, maybe?
Yeah, I've got it here. It's just in front of me. He's just got to check it out. Sorry, guys. Just a bit early here.
Yeah, plus one mil.
Here he is. Yeah. So basically, then coming in at mil 9, this is with no magic items, right?
Yeah. I mean, for him, for me, magical items would be defensive tech. You get him Agi Boots, Agi 5 with res. Agi 5 is quite strong. Regen. Sorry, he's got Leech 1. The Regen thing is good for him as well. Jeff, actually, I forgot to mention. Sorry?
Pestilence.
Yeah.
Or?
The Pestilence at level 1, which is super good ability once again. And he's normally in the thick of the action, but just for items, I normally buy defensive tech for him, either regen or agi boots.
So touching on Pestilence, and everything about him, in Thomas, he's got Rakir and he's got Nefany as two aggressors that can be taken as champions of Thomas, right? So he can apply Curse with his affliction, or he can apply poison. So the synergy with Nefany and Rakir is huge, right? And then Pestilence, again, it can be poisoned or cursed, right? So the synergy's there, it's great, right? Actually, and talking about magical items, I'd like giving him the diamond armor, which is Thomas's sacred artifact, plus one res that can't be negated, right? Things that true damage ignore it. But it can't be reduced.
It ignores the first reduction. That's right.
Yeah, and that's a lot of things in the game, like Shredder, for example. And that makes him, again, we spoke about this with Thorgar, he gives people rest like this with regen, but this guy hasn't got regen, but he's got leech because he's undead. Yeah, it just makes him a lot harder.
You mentioned Bloodthirst before, where leech takes him above his item, above his abilities as well, like his maximum health, so to 5 extra. I mean, I love this guy. He's he's super cool. I mean, level 2 then, so you're basically adding 5. He's going to be a base of 16. He can go to 21 health with that bloodthirst.
Yeah. You nearly always go to defensive items with this guy. You always do it because his aggressive tick kit's already made. It doesn't need Vorpal Blade, doesn't need any of that, right? So you might sometimes want Shredder because Shredder gives you the extra damage with decap, right? If there's a lot of res in the opponent, because don't forget that res is going to basically stop him 2 damage. We haven't spoken about it for every hero, but when the effigy power is called, his decap becomes one symbol, right?
For that round,
So we get multiple decaps, right? Because it's a combat maneuver. You've got to spend a fate, but if you've got the fate and you can do multiple decaps, it's crazy.
And right. Tendrils, it's level 3 as well. Another defensive tech where you can heal up and do damage at the same time. So in the right situation, it's a minimum of 4 health he's going to heal, up to 8 if he gets tags 4 models. There's a question in the chat. Sorry, Jeff. Mortis Bard, do you regen at Leech stack? They do stack. They're completely different abilities. So Leech is just healing whenever he attacks someone, and regen is just regening 2 at the start of every round. So they're completely different abilities.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they do stack. And that's why regen on him is so strong, because he's going to be healing up so much in turn.
We just did Zim. Now for this, so don't forget the undead can do that soul harvest ability where they can heal or actually do damage, right? So that's another ability that people forget that they've got up their sleeve as well.
Yeah, good point.
Right, it's soul harvest, basically.
All right. The last one for today is going to be Istariel. Now, she was second or third hero we designed. She hasn't really changed a lot over the years, to be honest. It's 5 years where she's been pretty static, and that's because she's really good and she represents a fire mage really well. Is this mine, Jeff, or yours? I think it's my one. It doesn't matter. We can both talk about it. But yeah, sure, Stariel's great. Just typical fire mage, mage 7, agi 5 elf, low health on 13, so one of the lowest. But she shouldn't be, well, she should be at the back somewhere. She's got reach 5 with a burning arrow. She's got no melee attack, just pure fire mage. She's amazing. Normally, I do buy her the Ring of Power to make her Mage 8. And the reason for that is because she's got a built-in armor shredder, which is one of her main things. Makes her so efficient. All those dudes that have just one res really don't like Stariel because out of the box. And if you're fighting, you do often see multiple 2 res models. And against them, she can buy the shredder herself and just go -2 and just absolutely shred them. It's amazing. Now, the big thing about her, Jeff, is incendiary. She can burn people with 2 symbols. And then with conflag, that combination, 1F, 1 fate, everyone within her 5 hexes gets 2 D3 plus 2 true damage if they're suffering the burn condition. It's an amazing combo.
Yeah. She just spoke about Fazil, and we've had a lot of minor tours today. They don't like seeing her across the board, right? Yeah. She just rips into them. Stops, because people suffering the burn condition can't leech. They don't regen, right? So against, like, Thorgar, it's the damage she's just done to him, plus the 3 on fire goes out, but it's like stopping the regen from the next turn as well.
But she can really, right? She can really just turn the fate tables, right? So, because burn, they're going to take another 3 damage if they don't get rid of it. Like, it's horrendous burn, right? So you're pretty much forcing them to burn, to burn their fate, to get rid of burn. And like, it's huge. And I mean,
they can't heal. And the thing about her, I think she's one of them that doesn't, she stands alone. She can go on any warband and work. The big thing she's got that we haven't spoken is her blaze, right? You can't tie her down.
Yep.
She can just be placed 3 hexes away and then blast.
It is a good tactic to tag her still, because she loses an action. She has to blaze out, but you're pretty much, she's just, you just take, all you're taking is 1 action off her, but she's still going to shoot you twice.
High band target. If they got Minotaurs and those guys, she's a killer. She's really good. It's a standard fire mage, but wildfire. I haven't seen that used a lot, to be honest. Right?
Well, the thing is, because people will normally, I mean, this ensures that they're going to burn, to get rid of their fate, to get rid of burn, right? Because it won't go out. They'll take the 3 damage and it will stay. And you, so that either, I mean, if this is happening, they're devastated, right? They've taken, she's hit them, she's burned them, she's probably conflagged them. They're taking burn damage and not getting rid of it. So you're pretty much winning the game if this comes in. It is a really good ability, particularly in low fate maps. But they need to actually move away from her. So they actually just have to run away from her to get out of the 5 hexes. Otherwise, burn's going to stay. And then intensify, just up the ante. She gets +1 damage against people who are suffering burn. So she's all out aggression. She's got nothing defensive in her kit other than blaze just to get away, I guess. But she's amazing. I love Astariel as well.
Yeah, she's always one I try to take every time. One of the ones.
I took her in Zim throughout all the beta tournaments. Took both. It was just so good because there's a couple of games I got to use both. It gives you a soft underbelly, but man, the damage output of that warband is pretty high.
Her sync with Alan Deer is great. and because if the Alan Deere can put them on fire, I think she used to automatic fire as
Yeah.
well. So there's that as well. I think Ashel as well. So yeah, so she's
Yeah,
quite,
it's, I mean,
yeah.
synergies with the Alan Deere and Ashel and those guys is pretty good. Even Curvado can put people on fire for her as well. There's actually good synergies between her and Curvado because Curvado gets at higher levels, gets extra damage against people as well. So he can poison them to help her have her attack anyway. So, right, that's it for today. We've gone through half the heroes we wanted to get through. We didn't do the starter box heroes because they've been talked about a lot already. Next episode, we're going to go through the rest, which includes all the demons, which is excellent, and Ludrug, so all the creature caster models that joined the Judgment Range. We'll go through those. I'll just make sure there's any last minute questions. There's no last minute questions. So, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us today. It was good fun. Jeff and I always love talking about the heroes. And it's nice to talk about them in the context of version 2. We haven't done that before, so it was good to see some of the
Yeah.
differences. Yeah, talking about the gods and
It's been.
those synergies. So Jeff, out of today's heroes, I think what's your favorite? You've got a lot of favorites. Piper, maybe.
It is three. Well, I started on your side, so I'll probably be leaning towards Piper, just tipping out. Oh, yeah, Piper. Tipping out Isabel and Skye.
Yeah. For me, I don't know. Zyvira or a Zim? Yeah, I don't know. Or a Kogan, probably the three honorables for me. I like those two. Yeah, Kane's coming next time. Cancerous Anonymous. We'll be talking about all the demons plus all the rest of the heroes that are in the Kickstarter. More V2, T-Bor 007. Yes, Ludrug just showed up in the post. Excited to build and paint him up tonight. De Hobbies. Yeah, Ludrug's a great model. I've got one here.
A shield is
It's really
amazing.
good. That's painted by Rainer. So yeah, we'll be playing a game in a couple of days. Was it Thursday afternoon? North America time, which is in the morning, Sydney time or Australian Eastern Coast time. Can't wait to play. And Kickstarter's live. If you haven't backed it yet, please do. There's like a 1 week
Yeah,
to go. Yep.
so okay, guys, this is where we've got to step up. It is a week to
Yeah.
go, and normally we get a big kick.
Yep.
Most Kickstarters get a big kick in the last week. We can see the finish line, so
And
this is
we've got the
it.
500k
Get all your
we want to
friends, get
reach
everybody
that we need to
involved.
unlock the effigies in the starter box as a free add-on, so that would be cool.
So this is the week we've got to start getting the
So if you haven't backed
excitement
it, go
spread
back
it all
it.
around.
If you have backed it, tell your friends to back it. The more
Well, back
we'll
and
back it
forth.
more, the more the merrier. All right, okay, thanks very much. We're going to sign off episode 33 of the Judgmental Podcast. We're back next week to finish off the heroes. Thanks for joining us, and we will speak to you later. Peace.
Cheers.
Bye.
See ya.